Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan in London. For those of you who are fasting in these holy months of Ramadan, I hope it's going well. And I also trust that your behavior during Ramadan attracts people rather than pushes them away. Last week we looked at the meaning of Ramadan. This week I'm asking, what are our social duties during Ramadan?
I think it's pointless fasting and showing bad manners to your fellow citizen.
He who hurts his neighbor will not smell the fragrance of paradise, and he who disregards the rights of his neighbor is not my follower. Whoever has had enough to eat and doesn't help his neighbor after knowing that he is hungry is not a Muslim.
Reflect your fast into society, so for them to feel the difference in your presence and your akhlaq and your behavior to them.
You get hungry, you may be in a bad mood, but it's also, you know, you have to be polite, patient, you know, good language, no, you know, don't swear.
It is how we interact with people as a whole. Again, reviewing how we behave, not being selfish.
Just what we got from all this, you know, statements and reflections on Ramadan is the very essence of Ramadan. Well, last week we have been talking about the essence of the spiritual essence of Ramadan, and very often when it comes to Ramadan we speak about this, and this is essential. This is the very starting point of Ramadan. And then when we come to what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said about Ramadan, we have lots of, you know, traditions where he is talking about our behavior, the way we have to deal with ourselves, with our family, with our neighbor, with our people around us, and with non-Muslims even during the months of Ramadan. So there are social duties, and he's saying about himself, إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I was sent but just to send to the perfection or to achieve the best characters around Muslims. So this is the very meaning of his mission. So coming from behavior to the spiritual understanding of what Ramadan is all about. So let us come to this discussion about the social duties and how, for example, for the Muslims, it's so important for themselves, but also for non-Muslims to understand the very essence of this month. To discuss this topic, I'm joined by Imam Ajman Masroor, who is the Director of Communities in Action and is the author of the Ramadan Health Guide. I'm also joined by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli, who is an Islamic lecturer and has spoken at university across the UK, as well as in the US, Europe, and the Middle East. So thank you for being with us today. So let me start with this, as we are talking about the spiritual essence. So I want you to say something about this connection between the spiritual essence of Ramadan and these social duties that every single Muslim, man or woman, and even young people have toward themselves, first towards God, then themselves and the society around.
In my understanding, Ramadan is about three simple things: connection, correction, and direction. We connect with God, we connect with fellow human being, we connect with our physical entity as we are, and our spiritual entity as we have. We connect with everything that is around us, create that harmony, inner depth and inner feelings. We correct our behavior towards our fellow human being, we correct our bad habits, we correct our indulgences, we correct all those things that stop us from being the good, the proper human being we're supposed to. And direction is, after connecting and correcting, I now have the time to reflect as to what I'm going to do for the tomorrow, for the future. So how I will take my neighbor with me, how I will be socially involved, how I will care about my families and my friends in my neighborhood. If somebody is taking drugs, if somebody is abusing alcohol, if somebody is going to sleep hungry, all of those are part and parcel of my connection and correction and direction.
Okay, so let me put it simple. If you are a Muslim and a Muslim is coming to you and saying, look, the only thing that I want to do during Ramadan is stop drinking, stop eating, stop having intercourses, you know, sexual intercourses during the day. This is Ramadan for me. Is this a wrong understanding?
Wrong understanding, of
course. This is not fasting, or is it still fasting.
Imam Ghazali said there are three types of fasting.
Yes.
First one is very basic fasting, okay, where you don't eat, you don't drink, and you abstain from your desires. The second type of fasting is when you don't do any of that, plus you refrain your mouth, your eyes, your ears from doing that, which is wrong.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the supreme type of fasting is when every limb in your body, physical and thought, fasts. Mm-hmm. We would
even
like
your heart, he's adding this, which is quite
everything.
Important.
Yes. Everything. Mm-hmm. So I say, if we are to attain taqwa, which is ultimately the purpose of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ
تَتَّقُونَ. So translate this. What is the meaning of taqwa?
Allah says in the Quran that you may attain God consciousness. But the Arabic word, taqwa, doesn't mean God consciousness as in English phrase. Umar ibn al-Khattab said in a very beautiful saying, it's like you treading through a narrow path, full of thorns and obstacles. You reach your destination without harming yourself, protecting yourself. You know how to do it. Skill. I call it refined, trained conscience. And a small example would be, if I come into an underground station and the barriers open, I walk through. I go to the other side, barriers open, I go out. There's something that happens in my head for a split second. My mind says, hey, you've just done a journey without a ticket. If I stop and say, it's my lucky day, then I haven't refined my conscience. If I stop and say, you know, no, I'm going to pay, that's my duty, then I have attained taqwa. Ramadan is the best time to do that.
Okay, let me come to you when you listen to this. I think that this is the very meaning of this connection. So the starting point of talking about, you know, we spoke about the best characters and achieving the best characters, and this is what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that he was sent for. So this is the very essence of his mission. So how would you speak first about social duties when it comes to specifically during Ramadan, while today we are fasting?
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, we send the choices of blessings upon the last and final messenger and the most immaculate individual, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, his noble, infallible family and the noble companions. And I first of all would like to congratulate all the Muslims around the world on the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan, this excellent, beautiful opportunity for seeking forgiveness, having this connection to the only beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I want to say first of all is that anybody who comes to examine worship in Islam or obligation or obeying the commands of Almighty will find that Islam teaches a comprehensive system whereby not only one single aspect is looked at, but all aspects that are beneficial for the perfection of a human being are examined. So you look at, for example, the pilgrimage. The pilgrimage has a spiritual aspect and also a social aspect. Even the prayers themselves, the prayers that are mandatory to be performed five times a day, Islam emphasizes the congregational aspect of it, as well as making sure that an individual standing before the Lord connects through concentration and attentive heart. If we look at fasting, likewise, we have the spiritual side, and we also have the importance of understanding the social responsibilities that a Muslim needs to be aware of when they are practicing
but
fasting.
Let me, let us start from the very beginning. We are always repeating that in Islam there is this connection between the spiritual dimension, vertical dimension, and horizontal dimension with Muslims, and then this is where the social duties and the social dimensions. Why is it important that we have these two dimensions together, and what is the very meaning of having these two dimensions? What do you mean by this? When you are saying this, we are repeating it, but I want you to tell me the very meaning of this.
Absolutely. One of the things that we believe is Islam is a complete way of life in which Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala wants human beings to be the best, to achieve this righteousness and perfection. Therefore, any direction in life, we do not pick one. So we do not believe, so for example, with monasticism, hiding ourselves away in caves and not associating with society. Neither do we believe about ignoring and neglecting the spiritual side. In order for us to become good examples of human beings who achieve and strive to be the best, because that's ultimately what Allah in His ultimate wisdom has created every human being, is to cheat, to become the best. And in order to become the best, you need to balance between all aspects.
To become better or to become the best?
to become as best as they could in this life, as much as the capability that they have to reach that level in all aspects of perfection that human beings can reach, whatever capability God the Almighty has given them. So whether it's spiritual side and social side, we mustn't neglect any aspects that when it comes to society, when it comes to conducting our lives, we mustn't set aside one and concentrate on the other like some other faiths and some religions concentrate. The beauty about Islam is its all-encompassing nature.
Okay, so I come to you. You yourself use the word that you were referring to at the beginning, connection. Connecting to God, connecting to people and serving. So this is a marriage between the two dimensions that you were talking about and referring to. So the point for me now, it's really, and in your guy, you're also referring to what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. It was said about the Prophet, the kana ajwad an-nas, and then during Ramadan, he was the most generous. And even during Ramadan, he was more generous than the, you know, during the whole year. So more and more generosity during the year. So there is something which is very deep spiritual teachings during Ramadan and very, very strong commitment towards yourself when you give, yourself when you serve, yourself when you are a positive presence in the society. So let me come to practical things. How can we achieve this in our daily life today as Muslims? Well, because, you know, the people are always listening to very good words. You have to do this, do that. So now, let me start. I want to start. I'm fasting. I want to start today to do something which is practical. How can I do that?
Simply three things if you want to do.
Okay.
Share the amount of food that you eat with somebody else. So if you binge eat throughout the night of month of Ramadan, many people don't eat throughout the day, of course, because they're fasting, but they make up for the lost amount of food throughout the whole night. Don't do that. Just eat one third of your stomach, as Rasulullah said. The worst vessel son of Adam could fill is his belly, Rasulullah said. Fill one third. In Ramadan, especially when I see Muslims putting on weight, I think they have lost the spirit of the fasting. So share the amount of food that you eat. Share the wealth that you have with the poor and the needy of the world. Ramadan is an amazing example of the social responsibility and social justice Islam not just proposes, it wants you and I to live it. An example. I don't know what it means to be hungry or starving or thirsty and acutely unable to find anything to drink. But I only know in the month of Ramadan because I've not eaten whole day.
So
those people in the world who have not eaten, who have been thirsty and hungry, I connect with them not just by my mind, but by physically living it. So I now give some portion of my food. Rasulullah is to give charity, so give charity. So share your food.
So this is the one. The
and
first
share
one,
your wealth, number two.
Okay.
Number three, and the most important one, is use your tongue to spread the good words. For every good word you spread, it becomes a sadaqah for you. So your stomach, your money, and your tongue can all be used to practically realize the social justice, the sharing and the caring, and the compassionate responsibility that we all have when we're fasting.
Okay, so this is a good point. I want to come to you then, and then this is something which is a dimension even with our tongue we have to promote social justice. I will come back to this, but look, we all look today at the Muslim communities around the world, in the West, but not only, in Muslim-majority countries. Some of these countries are poor countries, and we have poor people. While we know now, by all the statistics that we have, that during the month of Ramadan, this is the month where the Muslims are eating more than during the year. So what is happening and how can we change this? Because people are, is this the way? This is, you know, we wait for Maghrib just to eat, just to, you know, the sunset, and then we eat more than any other day when we are not fasting.
Absolutely.
So what is the wrong in our
fasting?
I think
Brother Ajman mentioned an important point, and that is that we have indeed lost the point or lost the purpose behind the legislation of fasting and all the other acts of worship in Islam. We tend to look at it in a ritualistic manner. We haven't examined in depth or thought about it and stepped aside to think, why has Allah made this an obligation for you and I and Muslims around the world? Is it just simply to refrain from food and drink and everything else that invalidates the fast? Or is there a bigger purpose? Is there something that I have to achieve? And the month of Ramadan, the way I look at the month of Ramadan, it's how each and every one of us has an accountant. At the end of the year, financial year, we've got an accountant who goes through all of our actions and stops and says, look, you're doing this right and this wrong. The month of Ramadan is a time where each and every one of us looks our own selves and reflects connects. What is it that I'm doing right? What is it that I'm doing wrong? And understands what's the purpose behind this fasting. And one of the areas, unfortunately, we're missing, and it's a sad reality across the Muslim Ummah, around many countries around the world, is this excessive eating. Not understanding that the whole purpose behind fasting is spiritual refinement and reflecting on two things. First of all, the poor, and secondly, remembering your own position on the Day of Judgment, whereby you will not have any food or drink.
Can you tell me why we are losing the spirit? What is happening in this community and around the world, the Muslims that are just consumerists, as all the civilizations that sometimes we are criticizing? You know, it's the West is all about consumption, and you look at what the Muslims are doing during Ramadan, it's as if we are doing exactly the same. So why is it so?
Unfortunately, it's mainly to do with lack of education and understanding of Islam and its obligations and rituals. A lot of people misunderstand the purpose behind prayers, Hajj, fasting, and they go about it in a collective way without stopping to reflect upon what's the purpose behind them. So it is going to be about education, about encouraging spirituality, because we mentioned the importance of having spirituality and understanding our role as far as human beings are concerned in this month and in every act of worship. If we begin to understand our spiritual responsibility in this month, then we will immediately connect to other important responsibilities, the social responsibilities, family responsibilities, every other responsibility we'll be able to
lead. So it's two things mainly, education and a comprehensive approach of all these dimensions that you are referring to. Let me come to, we are going step by step. Let me start with what you said, tongue. And then we know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if someone is attacking you and insulting you, your response should be, in Nisa'im, I'm fasting. So in which way, very simple things, could really help for getting a peaceful, you know, environment in our society? How can we do this? Why? What should you advise the Muslims to do during Ramadan with their tongue? Let me start with the very individual thing and then go towards the community.
It's a very difficult one, because our tongue has become used to the style, the habits that we have accustomed it with. So if we are very used to swearing, getting angry very quickly, that's what happens. Tongue also requires something else that needs to be controlled: our brain, our emotions. In Ramadan, when we are starving, hungry, our senses are also acutely aware of everything, and we become angry quickly. Our tongue is controlled by our mind. We need to understand our mind. So there is a disconnect. There is the other thing, which I believe is called selfishness. It's a month of sharing and caring, not selfishness, selflessness. So if we process that in our head, that Ramadan is about me becoming caring, me becoming sharing, me actually leaving out my selfishness but becoming selfless, I will suddenly realize my tongue is no longer harvesting the bad words or using the bad words. One example I'll give you.
Very quickly.
I have a very acute allergy of people using foul language. So my weakness is, I react badly to people who use foul language and I never use it back. So my response is my tongue to be controlled even when I'm not using foul language. In a way, I could say, I'm fasting, sorry, I don't want to argue. Even though I'm not using foul language. So it's about controlling this tongue.
Conditioning your mind. Even.
And conditioning your mind, absolutely, spot on.
Yes. So let me come to this. This is something which is personal. It's even about vocabulary, even about the way we speak, the way we deal with people. And yes, really controlling, as we control our body, we to control our brain and mind. So what would we advise on a community level for the people to do on a practical level in their daily life during Ramadan while they are fasting? What can they do just to get these social duties to
be... It's very important for Muslims, and starting with myself and all my brothers and sisters, to understand that the month of Ramadan is a training program for the rest of the year. That's why it's there for a whole month. Unfortunately, some Muslims, they fast. When it comes time for breaking their fast, this control of the tongue, this self-discipline that they may have been practicing ends there. So it's as if their responsibilities has ended with iftar time, when they break their fast. And once the day of Eid arrives, everything goes back to normal. No, Allah in His ultimate wisdom has given us this month so we train and discipline ourselves so that the rest of the year we are in the right path. That's very important. Just quickly about this tongue, I want to simplify taqwa. I think if we complicate taqwa for the Muslims, they may actually sometimes believe it's something reserved for the scholars and those who are truly in depth in their religious studies.
Taqwa is simply, as Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, taqwa is you will find yourself in where Allah wants to see you, and you will not be in an area or in a position where Allah doesn't want to see you in that position. That's simply what it is. So it's like I'm driving in a motorway, and there's a 70 mile limit on the motorway, but there is next to me a police car. Would I actually have the audacity to drive more than 70? I know that police car is watching me. It's simply to see that Allah is watching me, therefore I am fasting. Mm-hmm. With regards to community, we have to have an understanding that Islam and fasting is not so simply for Muslims. I'll give you a quick story in America.
Yes, very quickly. Yes.
Very quickly. In America, one of my friends, every time they break their fast, they invite their neighbors, who are non-Muslim, Christian. They say, we are breaking our fast, come and join us. For a whole month, they invited their neighborhood. At the end of the month, one or the two of the neighbors started asking about Islam and the beauty of fasting. And that led them to understanding and embracing Islam. This is a simple way to share our obligations with others.
But this is a very important point, and we'll end with this. But very quickly, because we don't have time, I want you both to comment on that. Are we serving the people during Ramadan to make them understand Islam or becoming Muslims, or do we have a duty to serve Muslims and non-Muslims alike during Ramadan? Is it right to serve non-Muslims by not expecting from them anything else but to serve, because this is the very duty of a Muslim?
You're sharing the goodness of your faith, no matter who it is around you, Muslims or non-Muslims. So I don't think it's either or, it's both and all and more. I do something very simple in Ramadan, and like the brother said, my request to our brothers and sisters would be, do two things. Go to the mosque regularly, connect with your community, and serve the community that you so dearly love. But every night when you break your fast, invite a new neighbor of your neighborhood to your house for iftar. If you do those two things, you would have served the community, and you would have served your neighborhood.
Very simple. The neighborhood, you are serving them, why?
Because you are a human being, you care, and Rasulullah said, he who doesn't care for his neighbor,
Muslims and non-Muslims,
absolutely, and if you don't love for your brother what you love for yourself, there is a problem and there is a doubt about your faith. So it's the duty of my faith. Rasulullah did not discriminate. Allah doesn't discriminate with his mercy and his abundance of bounties that he gives us. We become discriminatory, and that's a problem. So Ramadan is about opening up, it's about becoming compassionate, caring for neighborhood, connecting locally, correcting my behavior, and directing with Allah.
Okay, thank you. I think that we have been able during this program to speak about many dimensions, and once again to start with all this social duty that the Muslims have during Ramadan, and three words were referred to when it came to connections, to correction and direction as something which is quite important when the Muslims should do, but also what we refer to is something about education, the central dimension of education, understanding the very meaning of Ramadan, because the meaning of Ramadan is not to eat more, is not just to think about, you know, eating after fasting, is just fasting in order to give more, fasting in order to correct your relationship with God and to correct your relationship with your own self, and to serve the neighbors, and the neighborhood are, you know, this is, has to do with Muslims and non-Muslims alike. This is where the Muslims should, they are not here to please the people, just to remain themselves, and then being themselves, they show the very essence of this religions based on, you know, giving and being a peaceful presence for all the people, a gift for our neighbors, non-Muslims, in our societies, in non-Muslim societies, as well as in Muslim majority countries. But that's all we have time for. I would like to hear your views, so please email us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. That's islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. I would like to thank my guest, Imam Ajmal Masroor and Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli, and I hope that to see you next week, inshallah.